Thomas.
Yeah, go ahead, Thomas.
When I first heard you read this, or maybe I read it, I thought, how do you give closed captioning to the deaf? And obviously, it's a visual thing. It's only possible visually. I don't think there's any other technology. You can't send Morse code through the signal, and someone be able to interpret that. So, I understand. My question is how do deaf persons access radio, if in fact they're able to at all? I would suggest it's
no,
only
zero. There's no relationship.
So you're talking about closed captioning anything that becomes a video program.
Yes, something online or the video, then it can't. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
how
there'd have to be
it.
For example, you we've all played an archive tape, and all you do is hit play and you start hearing it, but you're suggesting that at the website of the station or wherever the archive show is emanating from, that there be a transcript that is simultaneously or at the beginning of the program simply posted there that a deaf person could simply read.
Yeah, or later.
Sure.
Because I think Democracy Now! Has a transcript after the show.
They do. I know the Gary Null Show has summaries of or even the whole article that he reads from. I know other shows do the same.
And so this would be a new audience for us. And all foreign students that are language students in the world, they're studying English. So we would be getting a new audience. English is the number one language. Go ahead, Sue.
We better start having video or we're going to die out.
Yes.
No argument here.
We are so slow on this. We are so slow. We were talking about this in 2016 in the programming committee. Michael Novick was saying, we have to go visual. We have to.
Yep.
Sorry, Sue. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Of course, this is a big challenge for us to go visual. But I was thinking, I even talked to Otis McClay, and I said, what do you think about that? He said, that's going to be a challenge, and you want to put English across a screen and Spanish and Vietnamese and Arabic and all the countries we've invaded, and we're going to have to do Pashto and Dari for the Afghans.
Houston always says that. Houston always says that.
Are you saying Houston?
Yes.
Houston always says what?
Wants to include all those many imports from other countries, but what they really should be thinking of is Spanish.
Well, that's the number two language here. All our voter registration thing is translated into Spanish and Vietnamese. And this how recently Arabic.
L.A. also.
Anyway, we have to try to be able to be read by a deaf person. Otherwise,
Nancy,
they cannot have any relationship. Oh, go ahead, Thomas.
Well, just a quick question, getting into the weeds a little bit. Has anyone done any research into the national? I believe captioning on television is often done. You see National Captioning Institute often, or at least I do. And I suspect that, the program or the network pays for that service. Am I right? If not, then getting a program captioned, which often has to happen after the program airs, so you give whoever is going to listen to it and write out a transcript in whatever language, or then translate the transcript, that work is done afterwards. Is it done only through volunteers, or does the National Captioning Institute use volunteer services and then, you know, pay a, you know, or charge a subscription fee to each of the stations or networks? Does anyone know how that works?
Sue,
go ahead, Sue.
There's vloggers. There's all sorts of options we already have to go video, and someone said that we should be ashamed for not already having a Pacifica channel on YouTube. Thank you.
There is one. It started last year, Sue. Pacifica Foundation TV, it's called. But we don't have too much on it. Not a lot of people know about it. I told all the board members of five stations, I think they subscribe, so we got enough subscribers to have a little more, you know, bring up our reputation. Yeah, so that Lydia did, I think she started that last year. Okay, what did you say, vloggers? How do you spell that? V like victory?
V is in video.
Oh,
it's
okay.
V-L-O-J, only V is in video. Vloggers.
Volunteers, Sue? Purely volunteers?
But there's...
Go ahead.
Well...
Or they paid for it.
We would hope... I'm not saying they exist already. These are so many options that we could get into. There's Medium has a video blogging, and there's Snapchat. There's a million different startup companies now that are doing video as well as text and audio.
Okay. Let me go. Let's see. Where are we now? I lost my place. Where are we? We took out 11.
How to support visual and audio programming from the entire Pacifica network.
Yes.
That one.
So this, we still have to, I put organizing volunteer translation teams. But, you know, it's very good idea, Thomas, that we research what is available and how much they charge. But I was really thinking volunteer is the best way, and they don't have to do literal translation, but just... they could summarize one paragraph in two words. I mean, it depends. we don't have to have such a fantastic translation unless we, you know, want to. At least something so that deaf people would be interested in what we have to say. So, yeah, I would start out volunteers, and then later, maybe we're making lots of money. We could, maybe there's some software. I don't know, but I have never seen yet a software that
there
can
will
actually,
be.
There will be. It's getting close, but you know, words that sound like other words, it misspells words, and I just feel like, you know, I'd rather have somebody write it than use a software. Okay, so I think that's good homework for us to check about that. But I have a feeling it's expensive, but. We're cash strapped. And I'd like to have volunteers. I'd like to have more volunteer teams. That means more effort and energy going into the station programming, and that means more of the community feeling like it's a part of them. They're a part of it.
Nancy, vocal. Now that I think of it, vocal recognition software does exist, but. But the manpower could be used to sort of oversee the quality of the vocal recognition. I assure you, I've seen Democracy Now! On television where, you know, they're speaking to someone who has an accent, or just using vocabulary, maybe geographic vocabulary about Afghanistan, for example, and you see nothing written down because the vocal recognition software doesn't get it, but a human could hopefully listen and re-listen. But again, this is usually after the broadcast and creating sort of stuff that would then be stored in the archives. But I see what you're saying, and then there is Google Translate and various other, you know, translation software that's the quality is generally could be said to be improving and has improved since its since their inception.
Does anybody know anybody deaf that uses these kind of tools? I mean, if you do, that would be interesting. Or maybe I should call the deaf. Okay.
I have to watch TV with subtitles all the time. And KPFK has a show of disabled people, and the hostess is blind, but there's deaf people also. And they have lots of resources.
What's the name of that show? Remember it.
It's Jolie Mason is the host.
Jolie Mason. Okay.
J-O-L-I-E.
J-O-L-I-E. Jolie. Okay. All right. Where were we? Number 13. How to support ongoing commentary from listeners in a secure platform. What I was trying to say is that the programming committee needs to harvest input from the listeners. So in a secure platform, or maybe this was already mentioned earlier. Did anyone else catch that? I think I put this already. I think I'm doing it a second time. Survey, email, snail mail. Okay, we don't need this. This has already been done. See, number 13, the scratch 13. Okay. Number 14,
how to support ongoing commentary?
Well, how to get the commentary, how to get the words from the input from listeners. That's what I meant.
I've relabeled them now since we deleted one. This is now 12, but the original 13?
The original 13, yeah.
You're saying get rid of that. Okay. All right.
Yes, because it's already covered in getting survey or email or a listserv or asking people to write the LSB, and somebody in the LSB turned it over to the programming committee. Somehow. We did have at our station one time programming something at KPFT, but we didn't get a single thing. Just it got diverted, and we were not getting anything. Of course, let's think about a better future. All right, so no 13. Now, number 14, how to organize and nurture a training program with training videos and expertise for visual and audio production. So nurture a training program, and I think KPFA is the only one that's got one, and they're doing a lot of virtual and videos to train their volunteers. So we need to do this at all five stations. So if each station has a programming committee that's working on this, we can all share the information. Yes, go ahead, Sue.
The head of at least one of their training programs said that anybody could join their meetings by Zoom at this time.
At KPFA?
Yeah.
Anybody. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. I wish I'd known that. Let's see. Where are we? To promote understanding improve. How to promote understanding, improvement, and creativity by reporting to and exchanging info with the programmers. So the programming committee would be in communication with the programmers. Maybe like a staff meeting or maybe by email, but just some kind of exchange. The reason why I put this here is because we had a rule, a standing rule at KPFD, that listener LSBs could not speak to a programmer. And we had to go through the program director if we wanted to speak to a programmer. And I don't know if it's like that in other stations, but there was a wall there. This has got to stop. So there's so much distrust between the programmers and the LSB. In fact, they think we're Simon Legree, I think, sometimes.
Nancy, Thomas to the set.
And go ahead, Thomas, yeah. And
well, I, 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 uh, of, um, I support what you just said in terms of it existing at our station. And what I found is that there's a sort of a one-way communication tool from management to all programmers. Programmers themselves only, you know, informally and casually can relate or link to each other. Otherwise, they have to go back through the program director to, that person who can decide whether or not to forward this. I don't know that there's necessarily distrust between programmers and the LSBs per se. It's hard for them to sort of meet usually because in between is station management, and in our case, it doesn't seem as though they want to facilitate that. I will quote someone as. A response to this sort of desire to, you know, increase communication is there will be some people, some programmers, and this is one programmer speaking for others who he said, there are programmers that don't want to be bothered with all these emails, you know, and they sort of wipes his hand of it by, you know, by saying that. And that they welcome a program director sort of winnowing out all the chaff, so that programmers ostensibly are protected from, you know, the vagaries of the LSB. I think it's blowing a lot of smoke. I think this particular section or this clause is will definitely challenge how things happen in certain stations and. But I think it would be healthy. So I support the principle of the clause, and it's something we've been working on. And as I said, it's something we've already gotten pushback from. So I was just trying to articulate one objection. Literally, there will be programmers that say, "I don't want to get all this stuff." You know. Well, okay. You know, I don't know what to say to that. They can always choose not to read it, just like they can always choose to turn off a channel when they don't like what they're hearing.
Yes. And this committee last year got passed with the PNB did pass their motion about a listserv with the programmers and management cross-communication. And I don't think it's been enforced yet. We have to work on that. And we were discussing whether to add the LSB and the ED to it. So it would be everybody, all hands on deck at each station. So that's number 2A. It's down later on, okay, whether we want to add that. Because right now we've got all the programmers and the management being able to have a listserv email with cross communication, not one way, not top down or down up, but cross. So they can just read if they don't want to put anything, and they're aware. They can be aware of what's going on, and they can communicate if they like. But I would like us to consider to add the LSB and the ED. Okay, we're not going to talk about that right now. Let's get to number 16, how programs are evaluated, organizing evaluations for recommendations to the PD. In other words, this committee would be doing evaluations and probably an executive session for the shows, and then give their recommendations to the PD. So the LSB will see this. We'll be able to we'll see. There'll be proof that work has been done. So it'd be very good because PDs don't seem to have time or the taste to do evaluations. Number 17, how to liaison with environmental or social justice advocates and or nonprofits for informative journalism. I think this programming committee could do simple things like calling or contacting these all these different nonprofits and say, would you like to do a 30-second, write a 30-second script for a 30-second PSA about your organization? Oh, sure, yeah. So, you know, we asked one group. It was a solar this and solar that. They're doing cars and paneling, and they're teaching you how to do your own house and all that. So they made a 30-second card. It's the only one on the air now. I guess I should have asked more nonprofits. And so programming committee could split the work up, and there's like 70 different nonprofits the last time I counted here in Houston area. I'm sure the older cities have more. Anyway, that's how we could help the community. And then ask them, you know, tell your people of your group that KPFD or Pacifica is doing this for you. Be a part of the family. Okay, and the last one, how to liaison with
environmental.
Oh, I just said it. That was it. Okay. Then instead of the
can
word
can anybody
and,
hear me?
Oh, are you talking? Go ahead. Go ahead, public.
Yeah. So I think it's important that committees stay in their own lane, so to speak. This is overreach. There is a program director. There's probably someone in traffic. There's probably a public affairs director. There certainly is a program director. Soliciting PSAs is not a programmatic a function of the program committee. We are not managers of the station. We are there to support certain functions and to make sure. You know, I don't really like the word oversight because it's very closely linked with overseer, as someone might have pointed out earlier. But that said, we just need to have a very narrow role. The role of the board and its committees facilitate certain things, especially where there's a shortage of staff, and may ensure that certain things are being done, not necessarily jump in and do it. Again, I go back to saying you can't assist someone who basically is saying, leave me alone. But you can evaluate what it is they're doing and saying, here's where we think you're short. The language is just so abusive. Here's where I think you're not meeting your goal. You know? So I don't know that it's our job to go out and solicit PSAs. Also, I did raise that on a Houston call many months ago. I think either you or Wendy and I were supposed to be working on it.
Yeah. We don't have a program director, and we don't. Well, we're supposed to have a new manager today. go ahead, Thomas. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Was I recognized?
Yeah, go ahead, Thomas. Yeah.
So basically, I assume you're suggesting that this last section be eliminated as well, and I would concur with that, even if that's not what you meant, because you're right. We're getting into the weeds of telling certain people how to do their job. I mean, I think it's pretty well known that, you know, program directors and whoever is on the, you know, station management, you know, they think a great deal about how they relate to the nonprofit world and what's in their locale and in their region. So I think clause, what I have is now renumbered as 15, but it's the last one, be eliminated. And I might also say, Nancy, at this point, if you were intending to have a vote on this, maybe we should finalize this motion and send it out with full notice of the next PNB PC meeting. We get it voted on and then forthwith send it to the PNB. And that could be done as early as next week or 2 weeks from now, whichever this is too. We're going on 4:30 Eastern time, and
yes, we are.
It's definitely 2.5 hours of meeting time already, and going on to 3. I'll shut up. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's that? Sue? Who is that?
Yes. The word liaison has been accepted into modern American English as a verb. Thank you.
Actually, the verb is liaise.
Liaise.
Oh, is that right? Well, people use it the other way. And you can't stop Niagara.
Okay. Woo, 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 woo. All right. So 17 out. I'm just thinking in KPFT, but we could add it to our programming committee because we don't have anybody doing it. Oh, yeah, we were supposed to do it. Wendy and Serena. Yeah, we were supposed to do. Okay. Next is instead of the word and, replace with but. Okay. All right. Shall we stop right there or?
Please.
We're finished. Who is that?
Never mind.
Okay. So instead of and, we'll put but. And is there any other? Oh, yeah. We added a new thing. As members, input is essential to programming, including non-LSP persons' input. Any person who attends the inaugural meeting or subsequent attends three consecutive meetings and signs the attendance sheet or identifies themselves through a virtual meeting, I'm summarizing here, let's see, becomes a voting member at the beginning of the third meeting. All right. Anyone missing three, then they got to start all over if they want membership. So that would eliminate that problem that's going on in KPFK. All right.
Nancy?
Go ahead, Thomas.
Again, I think this particular paragraph that you have now is the final paragraph of the motion should be eliminated because it's dealing with the membership, and we focus on sort of directing the PNB to direct the stations that, you know, these sort of in other words, I think it's appropriate to remove that and not talk about committee membership in this motion. And I would like to see the next draft of this reflect that, and I would be more than willing to vote for it and support it.
Here, here.
Well, if we don't put the word any person,
yeah.
It does not support what's going on in KPFK, which is has to be one member less of the non-LSPs can be permitted. And if there's only two LSP members, then only one can be a member of the committee, a non-LSP. And that is very uninclusive, if there's a word. And that's why
this motion isn't intended to do that.
Excuse me? Say one more time.
Is intended to deal with programming, not with the constitution of committees.
Public comment?
Go ahead, public.
Okay, so I think it's important to make it clear in the language of the motion creating the committee who's eligible to join. If, you know, there are people who are on the LSB by virtue of having made the decision to run, and there are people who have a particular passion, and that may be that they're really good with numbers, or they're very creative in terms of outreach, or they're really committed to making sure that the programming that we provide serves the community's needs and the programs are consistent with the Pacifica mission. I am speaking. Why do you feel you have the right to interrupt me?
Hold up, Raymond. Let her finish.
But I'm saying it does not appear to be a problem he has when others have the floor.
Okay,
you should examine that.
Yes,
you should
please,
examine that. Back to my point. It's important that people who volunteer their time to show up at these meetings and contribute information and ideas and sometimes experience and sometimes not much other than annoyance for others, it's even important that they have the right to do it. We can't just say, we want your money as your contribution, but keep your ideas to yourself. And Nancy is correct that a listener's ability to contribute to the dialogue and to vote when issues do come down to voting should not be restricted by the number of LSB members that happen to be interested in serving. So three LSB members show up. Only two members of the public can become members of the committee? That's silly. If you're willing to put in the time, you should be able to participate to the fullest extent. And so I do think it's important that the membership of the committee be prescribed in the motion, and I'm not linking it, again, because there was some confusion earlier, to station membership. Those are separate issues right now.
Okay, go ahead, Sue.
I think that rule about LSB members being in the majority was made especially for the Finance Committee. Thank you.
Thomas, for the stat.
Finance Committee is only LSB members. It does not allow non-LSB members in finance. I mean, that isn't that
station?
Correct station-wide? I mean, network-wide?
No, it is not correct network-wide.
Wow. We're learning here. Ooh. Go ahead, Thomas. I'm sorry.
I acknowledge the truth of what the public commenter was saying, and you know, and its importance. I would recommend it be put in a supporting motion that specifically deals with committee membership of program committees, and the direction of how their of their membership is important, because as we've just acknowledged, they don't exist in several stations. We in D.C. have a programming committee, and a motion that describes membership would probably just confirm what we're already doing, but would be good and useful direction for committees that have not yet formed. So my suggestion is that it not be that it be removed from this motion and put in an adjacent and supporting motion that's nice, short, and sweet. And, and is also introduced at the same time, at the same PNB meeting. In other words, that it would be a combination of two motions that, you know, the speakers can say both are necessary to be passed, but we decided to separate them for debating purposes and clarity. That's all I'll say.
I have a question. Do you think that one will pass, but the other will not, and so putting them, dividing it will make at least you get one of them done? Is that what you're thinking?
I suspect there are people that would use the end of the motion as a distraction to avoid the first part of the motion. That's what I suspect.
Ooh.
But they will use it as a distraction, as a way to speak against the thrust of what to me is the important part of this. Although, as I say, the membership of the committees, I sort of gave it short shrift, should be spelled out, but I think it should be a supporting, concomitant motion, if you will, but distinctly separate.
Okay, we've gone way over time, and I think we're not ready to do on this. Is that right, everybody? You want to have more time to look at it? We did make a lot of changes today. I'm looking at the calendar. What did you say?
Just my opinion.
What is your opinion? I didn't understand.
Well, I am ready to move forward with the changes that we have mentioned. I'm ready to vote.
Oh,
with the changes.
Okay. See. Okay. Now, they have a closed session this Thursday, the PNB. So this would not be able to be voted on at this. Closed session, unless it's a. I don't think anything executive about this motion. So the next, let me see, when is the time? Might be September the 2nd regular meeting. Okay. Do y'all want to have one more meeting next Sunday and vote on it? And it'll just be only for the vote on this motion, because I think the committee is tired, tuckered out, but we did make a lot of changes, and maybe we want to look at those changes a little a little bit more, maybe shave something else off, or I just want, I want
to Thomas to the staff.
Yeah, go ahead, Thomas.
Well, I believe it was Sharon that made those comments. She's ready to vote, and I hear you, Sharon, and I think a delay of one week in terms of sending these to the PMB, as Nancy just pointed out, won't make any difference because if I wasn't aware the next week was a closed meeting, but between now and next Sunday, these two motions, if you concur, we can vote to de-link them or link them if we saw the draft and could work with it a little bit and then quickly, or then debate this one more time or just vote it. And I do share your frustration in terms of the slowness of sort of getting this out. And you did the writing of this original draft, correct, Sharon?
He submitted it, yes.
Yeah. So we've had it for a while, and but I'm glad we're dealing with it. And I don't think a 1 week delay from to our next meeting would impact in any way getting these motions, one or two of them, sent to the PNB for adoption by, say, the beginning of September. Or early September, with and then there would be a 4 month sort of education period, publicizing the motion and asking the PMB to make sure all the stations and all the LSBs at the stations are aware of this and ask for their support.
How about we meet next Sunday, the 29th, at the same time? And we just vote on this one thing. Make sure, and I'll send out the final draft today, and we look at it and any discussion on it. And then next Sunday we meet just only to make quorum and vote on it. And then we give it immediately to the PMB, and they will have a regular meeting on the 1st, September 1st. How many people?
That would be the requisite notice for the PMB on a motion, Nancy. They want 48 hours, so
yes.
that could work.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Although I know that Raymond had something that he felt urgently needed to be said while I was speaking, so maybe he wants to speak first, and I think Sue might have also asked for the stack before she shouted out no, so I can wait if it's not my turn.
Yes.
Raymond? Sue, what did you say? Raymond, are you there? Did you hear something? Raymond?
He may not be there anymore.
Are you muted, Raymond? Sue, did you have something to say?
Pass,
okay. All right, go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so my question is to Thomas about why he would why he feels the need to separate the composition of the committee or the openness of the open composition of the committee, separate that issue from what the committee is expected to do.
Thomas, to the stack, I'd answer.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, as I acknowledge, I think I realized as you spoke the importance of what you were saying about the committee composition. I can be convinced to turn this into one motion. I'm not adverse to that. I was trying to anticipate an objection, and I also, as I said, stated that the program committee does exist in certain stations. These new, they're not new, we all know, but these parameters may or may not confirm what's all, what exists in Washington or Los Angeles, and obviously they don't. In the case of Los Angeles, in case of D.C., I don't think there's any contradiction between that this last paragraph and what we have, because we do have non-LSBers on the program committee. We've had difficulty getting Pacifica members. Most of the composition are, you know, people that have been around a while or just joined the LSB. So my objection is not one of principle. It was simply sort of a tactical suggestion. But I'm open to keeping it as part of one motion. I am.
Thanks.
Sure.
Okay. Now, at the beginning, there was this conformance. Existing committee to provide oversight and assistance. Now, does someone want to change that or improve on that? Just use the word oversight only and not assistance or of the station's
Sue,
programming. Sue, go ahead.
To me, oversight means you don't do much. You just look and say, oh, yeah, they're doing all right. And that you don't have any teeth.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm done.
I'm sorry. This is Lydia, and I think that if it's going to be any kind of committee, we can make up our own grounding, respectful, inclusive guidance, our protocols. So that way it's not assumed it's going to be a typical, I agree with you wholeheartedly, oversight doesn't have a lot of teeth to it, and how do we enforce what we're recommending anyways? So we have to take a look at that, because that's what's happening now with a lot of other oversight committees in other circles, and we end up just agreeing what the problems are and the solutions are and make recommendations, or is just advisory, simply advisory. Look what happened with our neighborhood council. Those are advisory, and they've gone off the charts, cuckoo, bananas, coconuts. You know, they're insane. They don't even represent, at least in Venice they don't. So I'm just saying we can put teeth to it. I'm all about putting some bite and some kick into it.
Okay. Oversight and instructional, oversight and, this is oversight.
Okay.
Anybody got a good suggestion here? Anybody
just call it just call it programming committee.
Okay. I have done that by September 30 to establish an open programming committee. So I took off the or programming oversight committee. I took that off. Or conform its existing committee to provide oversight of the station's programming, including but not limited to. You want me to take out assistance? Anybody? Yes, no?
Yeah, you can't help people against their will.
Shall I take out assistance? Because I put that in this morning. I thought it might look friendlier and acceptable. Okay, nobody has a strong opinion? Of the station's program oversight and assistance of the station's programming, including but not limited to, and not in conflict with, number one, number two, number three, how programming needs are determined, how shows and programs are selected, what programming agreements are made, how shows are scheduled and preempted, how programmers are educated and supported, how program success is measured and or evaluated, how listener feedback is obtained and shared via survey, email, snail mail, and report to the membership and to the programmers. How programming decisions are appealed, grieved, and or challenged. How programs, number nine,
Number nine. Okay. Number nine, how programs are moved, extended, lengthened, and or removed. And number 10, we did something with number 10, how to organize and support. How to organize.
Integrate interns.
Okay. How to organize and integrate.
I thought we had integrate interns and volunteers.
Great. Integrate. Interns and volunteers. That's it?
Well, what does it continue with?
Let's see, what did I write? Including reaching out to schools as well as the general public. Stop me if you think I should put that out, including.
I thought you were going for something like organizing and integrate interns and volunteers into both public affairs and arts production activities, something like that. That's what.
That might have been a different, let's see, integrate, to how to organize and integrate interns and volunteers, including reaching out to the general public. Yes, Sue, go ahead.
Is that where you had schools?
Yeah, I did. Reaching out, including reaching out to, where did I put? Reaching out to schools. Thank you. Reaching out to schools and the general public. Okay, and now public affairs, arts, and music. Maybe we don't need to put that, or we should. Anybody with a strong opinion? How to organize and integrate interns and volunteers, including reaching out to schools and the general public. Okay, I'm going to take arts and music public affairs out. Let's see, number 11, we scratched out 11. Let me take 11 out. And then number 12, is that right? Let's see, number 12, okay. So 12
Nancy
becomes 11.
Thomas.
Yes.
Uh-huh. May I suggest that wherever this draft is, that it be sent to us, you know, soon after our meeting, or, you know, in the next day or two, with the intention that any changes be submitted before next week, so that we would have, if we have to debate the changes, and vote on it next week. We're, as I said, I'm going to have to sign off here.
Yes.
At this point, I feel we're seven or eight people listening and basically wordsmithing. So I suggest that we not do this together.
Okay.
And
we'll wordsmith on the email thread then. How about that?
Thank
let's have a meeting.
This is Lydia.
Let's have a meeting next Sunday. Yes, Lydia.
Can you drop that into a Google Doc where we can access it and make some changes, and everyone can see who made what changes, the justice so did, you know, changes. So that way, we can get to this document in a timely way.
I do not know how to do a Google Doc. I just know how to do an email and keep everybody on the same thread and. When you make a change, put your initials in parentheses or on the side, and let's see, maybe any change you put in, not parentheses, maybe brackets, or...
can we put that in the subject, in the subject line as well? Because our initials in the subject line, because what I find is that when we do editing via email, it's just a big,
mess.
It's a long list of emails that come back, and you know, it just
it's just a lot. It's hard to keep a lot of these emails straight, too.
Okay. Who in this committee knows how to do Google Docs?
No, I'm not insisting that it's Google Docs. I'm just saying if you put it in the subject line, like if I made changes to this document, I put LP, and, you know, and that way it date stamp, time stamp, LP changes, offering, you know, changes to whatever
document. Oh, your initials of your name, LP. Okay.
Yeah, just put the subject line, so that way we can see which one, who's doing what, so.
At the bottom of the email, I think there's an option to send it to Google Docs, but I don't know how to pick it up.
Okay, I don't want to try something I don't know how to do, but I know how to do email. So I'll send email out with this, and then Lydia said in the subject line when you respond with a change, you put your initial, like LP. Okay, or Lydia Ponce.
Because I don't know everybody's names, and initials don't mean anything without the name attached to it or whatever.
Exactly.
Just trying to make it easy at glance, because I can receive 15 emails from KPSA, and it's just people going back and forth, you know.
Nancy?
Yes, Thomas.
Short of Google Docs, and there are people who I've encountered here that, you know, are in principle averse to using anything Google, so I understand that, I'm familiar with it. But I suggest that, as someone pointed out, putting an initial or a name to a proposed revision. And also, most word processing programs, you can highlight a section of text and change its color so that maybe revisions be very clearly put in a different color, red or blue or whatever, to for the reader to know this is a proposed change to the wording that we already have. And that's fairly straightforward. You usually can find it. And if you don't know how in Word or whatever program, you can either just type in search change color of text or change text color. It's pretty easy to do. That's all.
Okay.
I'll say. Yeah.
And if somebody cannot do that, then do a bold or italics, if you know how to do that, or underline. And then if you want to be more clear, write the original and then write the new one, your version, and say which it is, change to, and then put the way you think it should be improved, maybe in bold, and then put your initials so we know how you wanted it. If you're clear. Is that clear for everybody?
Sounds great.
Okay. I will immediately post for next Sunday, and we work on this on email. I don't think we're going to have a lot of problems, but I do want to see this pass as soon as possible, and I think September 1st, the regular PNB meeting, is as soon as that they can pass it. And if we get it done next Sunday, then we can distribute to the PNB so they have time to digest it. And
Madam Chair?
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Before you adjourn, I just wanted to say, I don't know if anybody from KPFA is on the call, but KPFA is about to air the Black Woman's Blues Festival. So, albeit they have a holier-than-thou attitude about so much else, I think this might actually be a very, very enjoyable experience. So if you have the time, check it out. KPFA.
That's right.
Thank you.
Tom Voorhees still on the call? He's KPFA. Maybe not.
Tom may have been busy with the transmitter.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Motion to adjourn, Madam Chair. After you adjourn, Nancy.
Yes.
After you adjourn, Nancy.
Yes. And you want to talk to me, or what did you say?
Yeah. Can I be in this group?
You are, but you just don't have a vote because you're in the public.
I can't join this.
When you get on the board, you ask, but until you're on the board, you can come anytime for public comment.
Okay.
Please do.
Okay.
Are there any objections to adjourning? Hearing none, we are adjourned, and I'm thankful for all of us. Thank you, all our efforts.
Thank you,
Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, take care.
Thank you, Nancy, and everybody.